This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12, on Joy 94.9.
Macca, during the week I read a very interesting piece in Pursuit magazine. Pursuit magazine is
which also featured you. I've got to get it. It's a shameless plug it did.
You're the one that's doing that. It featured a very interesting piece about religious freedoms and LGBTI rights. And a great article that was written by Professor Carolyn Evans, who's the Deputy Vice-Chancellor. We've got Carolyn Evans on the phone this morning. And I'm particularly interested in having a conversation with Carolyn about the idea of actually moving towards having a Bill of Rights in Australia.
And what countries that would be familiar to us have them?
Yes.
And how do they work there as well? I think that's...
So awesome. Good morning to you, Carolyn.
Good morning.
Great to have you on the phone this morning. I understand that you've been unwell during the week, so thank you for getting out of bed and making the time for us.
Thank you. I just hope my voice holds up.
I'm sure it will.
We'll be gentle with you.
I'm sure it will. So in your piece, you wrote about what are the next things that will emerge out of the LGBTI rights movement and out of this religious freedoms debate that's going on at the moment. And you talked about a Bill of Rights. Could you just explain to us what a Bill of Rights actually is?
Yes, there are a couple of different forms that Bills of Rights take in other countries. We were asking about where else in the world do we do this. Well, pretty much every Western liberal democracy other than Australia has some form of Bill of Rights. Sometimes they take the form of an Act of Parliament, and in fact we have one here in Victoria, the Charter of Human Rights and Responsibilities. In other places they might be part of the Constitution. Many people know of the US Bill of Rights and that Constitution, but most European countries, for example, will have particular rights protected in the Constitution. But Australia has resisted this. It came up when we were drafting our Constitution over 100 years ago, whether we should have some sort of Bill of Rights. It was rejected then. We had a big investigation into it 10 years ago. Overwhelmingly, the people of Australia, when asked, said they did want a Bill of Rights in some form, but our parliamentarians decided that we got the answer to that question wrong.
So what does it actually mean? How would it actually work? Mm. So you have a bit of legislation that says, you know, here are your rights as a citizen of this nation. What does that mean?
So it can work in a few different ways, and it depends on exactly how you put it together. But first of all, yes, it does articulate what our rights are, and in Australia we'd probably draw those from the international human rights treaties, which are widely accepted. And that can be important, you know, symbolically in saying something about us as a nation. Then if you've got a constitutional Bill of Rights, it might say if the Parliament passes legislation that's in breach of those rights, that legislation is void, as, for example, it is in the United States. But if the Act is just if the Bill of Rights is just an Act of Parliament, it might say we should interpret other legislation so that it's consistent with human rights where that's possible. And even more importantly, it stops government, it stops using the executive power in a way that breaches human rights. Because a lot of human rights breaches come about on sort of low-level, everyday sort of things. People getting evicted from their homes, for example, without due consideration being taken to whether their rights to a home and to family life is being protected. Often that doesn't come about necessarily because of bad legislation, but because of government action.
So that explains the political opposition to having something like a Bill of Rights then.
They prefer the idea of being able to make the decisions themselves rather
Correct.
Than having judges looking over their shoulders and,
yes.
and having to be accountable and explain it. And, of course, you know, there are arguments on both sides, and there are concerns that you don't want to give to politicise the judiciary or give too much power to the judiciary. But as I say, pretty much every other Western liberal democracy has managed it in some shape or another, and in most it's relatively uncontroversial.
And I know this is maybe a political question, but why do you think there's opposition to this by a federal government?
Well, we've had, in fact, it's in some ways bipartisan. We've had a few attempts, it's normally been by Labor governments, to push this through, but there's been a lot of opposition at Labor level as well. I think there are some good, legitimate reasons, some concerns that Australia's done reasonably well on human rights without a Bill of Rights, that this might be undemocratic, that if you have too strong a Bill of Rights, it takes things out of the hands of elected politicians and puts them into the hands of unelected judges. So there's some legitimate concerns. But I also think people who go into politics like power, and they don't like being second-guessed in the exercise of their power, and sometimes having to present rationed, reasonable justifications in a court of law transparently in front of people as to why you behaved in a certain way. I think that can be a really important part of a healthy democracy as well. Democracy is not always just about a simple majority wins, particularly when it comes to the rights of minorities.
Yes, of course. And of course, that brings me up to the next issue that I was hoping to explore with you, Carolyn. How would a Bill of Rights deal with conflicting issues? So, for example, my rights as a gay man compared to somebody else's right who is homophobic. So there's two conflicting sort of sets of values. How would a Bill of Rights deal with that?
Well, most Bills of Rights have legal provisions around the conflicts of rights, because there are plenty of places where rights come into conflict with one another. And one of the ones, as you say, I wrote about in Pursuit is religious freedom and equality rights. They come into conflict with one another from time to time. They normally won't take, you know, one right is more important than another in all of the circumstances. Normally they require some sort of balancing act. Some courts use, for example, what's called proportionality. So if one right is very seriously and substantially impacted, and one right is relatively, you know, it's given a relatively low level of impact, then the right that's very substantially impacted might win. But it's not a case of saying there would always be, one right would always prevail and one wouldn't. And something that people can dislike about Bills of Rights is that when two rights come into conflict, in the end, the judges or whoever's set up to determine how those conflicts will be resolved get to make that decision, and almost by definition, at least one group of people are going to be unhappy about how that plays out.
Interested, Carolyn, it's Macca, how this feeds into the question, or the question of religious freedoms feeds into this. If we look, for example, United States, separation of church and state and the judiciary, the executive, yet I don't think there's been a time in American history where religious influence on the executive and on the courts has ever been stronger. So how is a Bill of Rights going to get, you know, going to protect people? How is it going to, how will it get that balance right? You know, no desire to restrict people's freedom of religion, but also recognise that lots of communities, not just the LGBTIQ community, are discriminated against, often on the basis of a religious belief. So it's a huge challenge, isn't it?
Look, it is a huge challenge. And one of the things that prompted me to write the article in Pursuit was a real concern that at the moment there's lobbying around having legislation that's just about protecting freedom of religion. Not other rights, just freedom of religion. And I'm a supporter of freedom of religion. I think that is an important human right, and I've think there are particularly religious minorities in Australia who are facing some serious challenges to their religious freedom on a regular basis. But I'm really quite disappointed that a number of religious groups that have opposed a comprehensive Bill of Rights where everybody's rights are protected for several decades now are suddenly saying, and they've been quite contemptuous sometimes of international law and international human rights, are now saying, oh, but, you know, we need to select just one of those rights, the religious freedom right, and put that into legislation and just protect that. Well, Bills of Rights are imperfect, and there are always going to be the sort of problems that you suggest with how we resolve conflicts. But if we privilege just one set of rights and say this is more important, then I think we've, you know, then we're almost certainly going to get it wrong.
It's a very interesting conversation, one that I would like to see us continue on into the future, because, you know, as an LGBTI community, we have, you know, we have been advocating for our rights and our ability to be able to participate equally in our society. And there haven't been any sort of conventions other than some of the more global conventions like the United Nations conventions that have provided those sorts of frameworks for us. So where is this debate going? Do you have a sense of where this might be leading, Carolyn?
Look, I suspect if history is any guide, it's probably going nowhere very much. that the commission that Philip Ruddock is leading into religious freedom will come out with some recommendations. The government will cherry pick a couple that don't seem too controversial and get them through, and then hope that it will all go away again. Because as a country, as a culture, we just don't seem to be interested in having and continuing and doing the hard political work that might be required to think about how we can best protect rights and answer some of the tough questions about them that you've been asking today. So my best guess is within 12 months we'll have some modest changes, maybe a little more protection of religious freedom, but probably not much else.
Carolyn, thank you very much for your time this morning. We would love to continue the conversation again. So maybe at some point, once we know what the Ruddock Review comes out with, we might call you back again.
Looking forward to it.
Fabulous. Professor Carolyn Evans, Deputy Vice Chancellor from the University of Melbourne and also the Deputy Provost.
Hi, this is John Borghetti's here at Virgin Australia. For 22 years, Joy has been the voice of the GLBTI community. Virgin is a proud sponsor of Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.